The first Sunday is about the coming days, a time of anticipation. And so we light the first candle on our wreath, and it is a candle of hope. So you may remember a movie sometime back, a movie called Hope Floats. And it had Sandra Bullock in it, and it's pretty typical Hollywood romance stuff. And you know, the hope here is that she'll get the right guy this time. She's going to get that's the hope. And you know, and as good as Harry Connick Jr. looks in tight jeans and cowboy boots, there's not much to that hope. It's kind of frivolous. It gets one star on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, actually, the only really good thing about this movie is the title, Hope Floats. Hope Floats. Because hope, as it's used here, is little more than wishful thinking. And every child with a Christmas list knows that kind of hope, right? We all know that kind of hope. Hope is a verb and a noun. And it can refer to our action of hoping. I'm hoping. And it can refer also to the thing that we hope for. By its nature, hope always includes two aspects. It is future-oriented, and it's invisible. If we had it, if we could see it, we wouldn't be hoping for it. It's future. Hope is expecting. The same word we use for pregnancy. And it's been a long time for me, but I remember getting the little baby bump. And I remember the first fluttering little movements. And I longed to see that baby, not dimly, not darkly, like a sonogram, but face to face. Hope is expecting. Hope is longing. But not everything about babies is Hallmark sweet and Hollywood pretty. And pretty soon I look like Moby Dick, the great white whale beached, I'm telling you. It was like an alien had taken over. And I just wanted my body back. You know, I just wanted this to be over. I wanted it to be done. Come already. Come. Hope is waiting, and sometimes impatiently. Hope, the word and the concept, has a mixed history throughout centuries, and it's a subject of mythology and philosophy and psychology, medicine and theology. And there are two basic camps in all this writing and discussing, and it's that hope is good, it is positive, even life-giving, or hope is bad. We're deluded. It keeps us from seeing reality and dealing, and it will always let us down. So it's sort of a glass half full, glass half empty kind of argument. But as it's used in the Bible, hope is a strong word, a powerful word. And at various times it means conviction, faith, confidence, trust, assurance. This hope is dynamic. There is no drifting, sentimental, wishy-washy stuff here. It changes how we see ourselves. It changes what we value and even what we do with our lives. And it produces joy and peace, courage and resilience. This hope has roots. This hope has muscle. And it's the kind of hope of which Luther said, "This life, therefore, is not righteousness, but growth in righteousness, not health, but healing, not being, but becoming, not rest, but exercise. We are not yet what we shall be, but we are growing toward it." It's the kind of hope that brought the Kotok family across an ocean, leaving behind everything they knew, and holding to the promise that the coming days would be better. That's hope with muscle. Thank you. It's the kind of hope with muscle that Jesus talks about in Luke today when he says, "It's going to hell in a handbasket. You'll see signs, the seas will roar, and people will faint with foreboding about what is coming on the world. And when that happens, stand up and raise your heads, for your redemption is near. That's not my inclination. My inclination is to cower. But that's not what we're called to do there. And like unused muscles, hope can atrophy. And there was a time in my life when I did not stand up and raise my head and claim that redemption. When the best I could do was just say, there's a God, and it's not me, and that's about all I could lay claim to. What a stripped down, sad little creed that is. A hope that barely flickers. But God does not let go. The hope that is God does not let go. And somewhere I had enough muscle memory left, anchored in something sacred, I couldn't well name it. And by the grace of God, that hope floated, and it held. Setting an anchor on a ship takes care and skill and practice, attentiveness and muscle. That is an anchor chain on an aircraft carrier. Thank you. And that is an anchor chain being let down. Each one of those links weighs more than a ton. Let's see the next one. Thank you. That is the aircraft carrier Stennis, which ought to be at our pier at Naval Station Everett. And you see how much chain there is. And that's because you can't drop chain straight down when you anchor an aircraft carrier. You have to pay out 7 or 8 times the length of the depth of the water beneath you. It has to be paid way out because you need all that weight on the bottom to hold, to set that anchor. And even then, strong tides or winds, the roaring of the seas will pull that anchor. So the sailors always have to be on watch and recalculate the ship's position and make sure the anchor holds. Where do you drop that much chain so that the anchor will set and hold no matter what? Drop it right there. Drop it in the baptismal font. Drop it right there. That water is deep. That promise is deep. Drop it right there beneath that little candle called hope. Anchor your hope in the promise of your baptism and be assured that by water and by word, God calls us and claims us sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Showers us with the Spirit. Renews our lives with forgiveness and grace and love. Drop it there, all 800 feet of that chain. It will hold. Anticipate with confidence that God has come. God is coming. God comes. Which one of those is it? Because when we talk about a God beyond time, our words don't work. English doesn't work always. Our verbs don't work. God holds time within herself and yet comes in our history as what, a baby? God incarnate, Emmanuel, so that we might know him face to face. Every Advent, there's a time for me, a tiny little moment when time and space actually allow and align. And then Christmas happens, and I play a recording of David Gruesome's carol, Some Children See Him. And I sit very still while the haunting strains of that piano fill the darkness. And then God comes. For me, God comes. God has come. God is coming. God comes. Which one is that? For God who loves beyond space and beyond time and beyond all reason. God comes in a stable, on a cross, as tongues of fire, in the waters of baptism, in the bread and the wine. Is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? For us, for people of hope, it's the wrong question. Because the cup is poured out and filled again and filled again and filled again for you and for me. A candle flickers and sometimes blazes, and hope floats, anchored in the word of God, the ground of our very being. Amen.